I don't recall Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday being on the same day ever in my ministry, so happy Valentine's Day, I suppose. Perhaps this is a good day to reflect that we are being called to be God's Valentines, eh? Pause and reflect, if you will, about the Jewish traditions. One of my favorite films is Yentl. Have you ever seen Yentl? Barbara Streisand, she plays a little Jewish yeshiva boy. There's a girl who pretends to be a boy so she can do things that boys can do that girls can't do, but at any rate, there are traditions. And all the traditions, and you've heard of some of those traditions of the Jewish people, the kosher foods, they can only eat specific kosher foods. Their attire is different and is intended to separate them out as a separate, chosen, select people. Their hair and the way they wear it and what they, the men, whether they can shave or not. And they have a calendar of events that they hold to very strictly. The Seder, the Sabbath, all of the events that are part of their calendar that orient their lives. And in the early tradition, their offerings. Do Christians have overt traditions? I had to stop and think about that a moment. Are there ways that people could look and say, oh, like we might see someone and say, I think they're Amish. Or I think those people might be this denomination. Or do we know any way that we might be perceived as Christians? I once thought in high school, I saw some of the gals would wear crosses, and I thought certainly they were active in their churches, and they may have been. I don't know, but I have seen a lot of people whose choice was fashion and not faith who wore the cross. So what are the manifestations of our faith, and what should they be? And should they be more obvious? It's a mixed bag, because here was the word of Jesus reminding people, the overt ones, the ones who stood in the marketplace and proclaimed and whom blade loud noises, had trumpets sound before they prayed, and they were not faithful. Scripture condemns those acts. Scripture condemns seeking adulation or praise or notoriety without a faithful heart. In fact, it says don't even pray in public. I had a fella call me on that early in my ministry. He says, so why do we still do the pastoral prayer? I had to nod and acknowledge that there's an edge there, a slippery slope that we need to be aware of. So God rejects those things. God also rejects the burnt offerings. Did you hear him saying that? If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased, it says to God. The burnt offering was the way of atoning for something you had done wrong. If you had sinned in some way, you were required to make atonement by bringing a burnt offering. But there were cases of people saying, well, if I go ahead and do this sin, all I have to do is give this much of a grain offering or this much. I think it's worth it. Maybe I can just pretend to be pious and be freed from any long-term condemnation. Jesus said something else that was important, and I had a fellow in the church, and he had never heard this passage before. He had been in a Methodist church his whole life, grew up in one, and he had never heard this passage. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And he says, where does it say that? Where does it say that? And I found it in the Bible, and he was speechless. And he had to think that through. What do we treasure? That's where our heart is. I had a gal I heard knew who gave a sermon, and she said, if your house was on fire, everything was burning, what would you rush back inside to save? Where is your treasure? If your loved ones are there, there need be nothing else. But this business about treasure and things and possessions, this is hard. This is hard, and it calls us, and it calls us deeply. Perhaps that's our temptation, perhaps it's not. That's what Jesus said, it's easier to be faithful when you're poor. You've less to lose, less to have to give up. So God bless us if we have been blessed with a little bit of prosperity and comfort. May we find ways to be faithful despite that, in the midst of that. Amen. God is working to change us from within. It is not going to be wearing of jewelry, the Christian ornaments, Christian jewelry, Christian things that would indicate to others we might be Christian. It is from within ourselves that the change has to come. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That's what Mark read in Psalm 51. I struggle with that, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I went and looked back and tried to unpack that word. Maybe the translation was a little bit heavily weighted in some way or other, but I didn't get very far. But breaking our spirit may be core to what that's about, because it's less about us and more about the Lord. Honest faithfulness, that's the goal with the Lord. There, that's where we're going, isn't it? There, that's what we're supposed to be about, being connected with God, centering on God, our heart core centered on God. And God assures us that that is not a yoke that's heavy upon us, but that in finding that, we find peace. We find peace that we can offer to the world. Boy, the world needs it. But the more I look, the more I see people who are offering that out of centeredness on God. Every place I go, there's someone caring for someone else. God is good. So we give thanks. Tonight is the beginning of the 40 days of Lent, time of introspection. And every year, perhaps you've done this for many years now, been through the Lenten cycle, and that introspection may seem like you've done this before, but maybe the introspection for this year is different. Maybe there's something else that you've grown and learned, that you've grown in the Lord. It's a time of transformation of human hearts inside, turning to God. Did you hear the psalmist? Spare your people, O Lord. Spare your people. Amen.